Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, October 15th. Coming up today, we'll have the details of a restaurant in Folkestone that's been given a one-star hygiene rating after mould and flies were found by inspectors. We'll also hear from the manager of Tunbridge Angels on their run in the FA Cup. But first, taking a look at our top story today, the independent inquiry set up to investigate the crimes of a Kent killer say there needs to be urgent regulation of the funeral sector. David Fuller is serving two life sentences for the murder of two women in Tunbridge Wells and a further 16 years for abusing bodies in hospital mortuaries. He was able to gain access through his job in maintenance. A report released today says there's a real need to change to restore faith in the funeral sector. Neveres Kamal's daughter Azra was one of his victims. She feels she's never had justice.
I don't think that there's been any accountability with the trust. The failings that Sir Jonathan Michael actually found were very basic, i.e. security systems, key systems getting into mortuaries and things like that. So I think he highlighted all the failings, but there's no one, the trust has not actually been held accountable. Who allowed those failings to happen? Why did they happen? It's the question is why, and who is accountable and who is to blame? For me, I don't think we've moved on. I mean, they're talking about regulatory or non-regulatory issues of funeral parlours. I mean, when someone dies, I think the general public, that they're set up, funeral parlours are set up. I think the general public believes that these are regulated. I've been to funeral parlours, you know, for family members, my mother, my father and my daughter. And I believe that they would be regulated. There'll be codes of conduct, how to look after the body, how to protect the body. And then you have an organisation such as the Trust, a massive organisation, a massive mortuary where hundreds of thousands of bodies have gone through over many years. And Fuller was allowed to abuse and rape and violate bodies for over 10 years and more. So all well and good about what we're going to do in the future, which is incredibly important. But what about the families and the victims of today? Where is the accountability for us?
Kent Online News.
A man who died after being stabbed in Canterbury has been named as two people appear in court charged with murder. 23-year-old Samir Gariskahir was found injured in the High Street late last Thursday night. Kamel Ibrahim, who's 24 and from Longacre Close in the city, and 31-year-old Mohammed Hagar, who doesn't have a permanent address, have been remanded in custody. A man's gone on trial accused of murdering his disabled girlfriend at their home near Edenbridge. 52-year-old Sonia Parker suffered serious injuries on Stiles Close in Foreham Hills in May this year. Hussein Kalyonku, who's 33, has pleaded guilty to manslaughter but denies murder. The leader of Dover Council says the road network would not have been able to cope with new border checks for passengers heading to the EU. The entry-exit system was due to come into force on the 10th of November, but it's now been delayed until next year. Councillor Kevin Mills has been giving evidence to a committee in Parliament.
We're extremely pleased, to be perfectly honest, because of we would not have been ready on the 10th. It would have been complete and utter carnage. So, you know, there's no point in introducing a system that's going to have, it's so integral to this country and particularly the town I represent, unless everywhere's ready to go. So we are more than happy that there's been a delay. What we don't know is the length of the delay and obviously what comes following the delay to any great extent.
Could you just again, I'm pretty clear that myself from reading what you've said, that I know what the answer might be, but just to place it on the record, could you tell us why we were not prepared for the introduction on the 10th of November?
I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't think the road networks are ready currently. Dover Harbour Board, I don't believe, have got the iPads that are much discussed. There's been no live trial of the technology for Dover Harbour Board. Dover Harbour Board have yet to backfill the western docks for the coaches, although that's happening. So, you know, none of the infrastructure is ready. None of the new technology is currently ready. And I don't believe the roads are currently ready. And the Department for Transport have made great play that they're looking to establish car parks, lorry parks, call them what you will, but to take traffic off the road. As of today, they have not discussed that or conversed with Dover District Council in any way, shape or form, although they must be looking within our district. So you know, we heard a couple of months back this is what we intended to do, and we've heard absolutely nothing since.
A delivery driver is thought to have had her van stolen while working in Rochester. The vehicle was reportedly full of parcels when it was taken from Invicta Drive last Thursday. It was found in nearby Marley Road and a 24-year-old was arrested. He's since been released on bail. Two young children from Chatham have been praised for calling 999 when their mum collapsed. 7-year-old Naya Lee and 5-year-old Leon Jr. managed to get a paramedic out to help when Dominique fainted with abdominal pain after getting home from the school run. She's since been diagnosed with endometriosis.
Kent Online News.
Figures just out show a drop in unemployment in Kent. Just over 41,500 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in August. That's down by 510 compared to the previous month. Now, a Kent doctor has raised concerns about the idea of using weight loss jabs to help unemployed people get back into work. It's been suggested by Wes Streeting to boost productivity and ease pressure on the NHS. Dr. Jack Jacob says the government should focus on improving understanding of healthy eating, taxing junk food and encouraging active lifestyles instead. He's been telling us more about how the injections work.
So there's basically a number of different weight loss jabs around, and they all work in a similar sort of way. So they work on a number of different bits of your body. So they increase the amount of insulin that you release, they reduce the amount of sugars released by your liver, and they also slow down your guts, the way that they process food, and they decrease your sensation of hunger. I guess my slight concern is that if you're losing weight, if you want to sustain weight loss, you do need to also just change pretty much everything about what you do. So the diet component is important, the activity component about what you do is important. All of that together is really important for sustained, I think, weight loss. And when they kind of trial these drugs for weight loss, when they did the trials, everyone in the trial, all the patients on the drug, also had quite a lot of intensive support from dietitians throughout the trial. So you're not quite sure if people aren't getting that, if they will get the same weight loss as in the trials. And I think the other thing to say is all these drugs, like any drug, have a side effect, you know, so not everyone tolerates them. They can sort of upset your stomach and bowels, and some people just don't get on with them, and it just doesn't work for everyone, like everything. So it's not a magic wand. I don't think it should be seen as that. I'm much keener on prevention rather than actually treating it at the time. But for some people, it certainly can be helpful.
A restaurant in Folkestone has been given a 1-star hygiene rating after mouldy chopping boards and flies were found by inspectors. Pictures at Kent Online show dirty utensils being used at Ho Ho Chinese in Bovary Road West. There was also evidence of people smoking and card games in a food preparation area. The inspectors found sesame bread being stored uncovered in a fridge, risking the allergen contaminating other dishes, and cooked chicken was being kept at room temperature rather than in the fridge. It comes just a year after they were given a 0-star rating after bloodstains were found. Bosses have been given a long list of improvements they need to make. They've been contacted for a comment. Now, powerful portraits of people who are homeless have gone on display in Canterbury. Photographer and filmmaker Jason Knott has spent a year with Catching Lives, capturing clients, staff and volunteers. The Beyond the Margin series is all about raising awareness of the issue and the work done to help those sleeping rough. Tasman Maitland is the charity CEO.
Jason's really taken the time to get to know the charity, to get to know the people that we support, to understand what we do and what the sort of the reality of people's lives, all elements of their lives, not just using a homelessness service, but what else is going on for people, their passions, their interests, their background. So spending that time with the people we support really enabled him to create photos and portraits that really represent people as individuals. So getting away from that stigma of homelessness just being about a sleeping bag or someone on the street, and instead looking at people as whole people, everything that makes them individual.
And how impactful do you think these portraits are? I presume you've been able to see them, you know what's going to be going on display. Were there any in particular that really stood out to you?
So the portraits are amazing. I love them. I think they really help to challenge the idea that, you know, homelessness is a permanent state, that it's an identity. It's more the fact that it's a temporary period in somebody's life, that it's a crisis, and that you know, people are still individuals, they're still themselves, even while they're homeless. And so these portraits show people who have moved on from homelessness, who have lived on the streets in some cases for many years and have moved into their own home. So showing those kind of images, and also the kind of connections that people have within the community, both at Catching Lives and elsewhere. So there's, for example, a few portraits of Lucy, a volunteer at Herne Bay and Bloom, and Lachlan, one of our clients, who also is a volunteer at Herne Bay and Bloom, and of them at the garden there. And it's just a really, you know, lovely representation of everything else that's going on for people, and they're what they're giving back into the community as well, not just around the things that have gone wrong, but also what's going really right for people.
I think it's really powerful how you say it brings a face to an issue that a lot of people can just walk past in the street and maybe ignore. And no one realises, you know, how it could very, very easily happen to them. And it doesn't take much for things to spiral. And I think perhaps seeing some of the images for me, that was the most powerful thing, that it's actually putting a face to the issue and just thinking, crikey, that, you know, that could be me or that could be someone I know.
Definitely. And the photos show the reality of people sleeping rough. They show what's happening for people on the streets as well, and people who are still in that situation, in that crisis situation of sleeping rough. And we're seeing numbers increase in Canterbury. There's a lot of visible rough sleeping, a lot of visibility of homelessness in the tents around the city as well. So hopefully this exhibition, it does show that. It acknowledges that reality and reminds people that it is a current crisis. But also, yeah, as you said, all those people are individuals. It's also what's beyond that when people do move on, and the other things that they're doing with their lives as they try to cope on the streets. So hopefully it really shows all sides of the people that we work with. People forget sometimes that homelessness is about people. It's about individuals. We work with amazing people every day, the people that we support, those who volunteer with us, people working in our charity. And it's all about those relationships, not just what's happening is the problem, but how we work together to solve that problem and to help people to move on and to live a fulfilling life that they if in the way that they choose.
It's in Rock Paper Scissors on Stour Street until early November.
Kent Online News.
Plans have been approved for 114 new homes in part of Ashford despite claims it amounts to environmental vandalism. The scheme is part of a larger project of 364 homes at Waterbrook Park in Sevington, which has been described as unnecessary destruction of woodland. Council bosses were quick to point out the authority's arboriculture officer had no issue with the plans and they were approved 8-3. The boss of an award-winning Indian restaurant in Raynham has taken over the pub next door. Safies Lab says his restaurant Sundarachana and the Three Mariners Pub on Lower Raynham Road have worked well together for years and has described buying it as a win-win. The 37-year-old says he plans to renovate, including a complete overhaul of the interior. He's been speaking to our reporter Davina about his passion for food, flavours and family.
Normally people does an Indian restaurant, it's like, oh, what type of food do you do? Oh, we do Punjabi style. We do Madrasi style. But if you ask me, I say I don't do any particular. My menu has a Punjabi dish, has a Madras dish, has a Bengali dish, has a Pakistani dish. So different varieties. I picked whatever best different places. And like I said, we do a session in the kitchen just to training, create a dish. So me and my chef, I'm a chef myself. Like when we made the menu, I worked on this menu 6 months before you open. With my chef. So I'm a chef myself and my chefs, we worked 6 months before restaurant opened and make a right menu. And so far people loved it.
Where did that passion for like cooking come from then?
I think cooking is not, it's an art, I think, because if you tell me, I want a dish like this, and I love this, you just tell me what you want. I can create a dish in my head. I can cook the dish in the kitchen from scratch. You're not going to stand there. I'll cook in front of you within half an hour. You don't have to, I don't have to follow anything. So something natural. You can't learn things from the book. I learned things in the kitchen, a lot of things. It just by practicing, looking and seeing. I go different places. I see them. Oh, that could be better. So I come back, I try the same thing and I make it better. You know, so it just, I've got passion for this. Yeah. And I love cooking. And yeah, that's what
amazing.
It is now, yeah.
And when did you start cooking? Was that back in Bangladesh or when you moved over here?
No, back in here. When I was in Bangladesh, I was kind of like mommy's boy. So, you know, so my mom used to cook and I used to be around mom. And, you know, watching mommy what cooking and trying. I think from there, I picked something. It's just me feeling. I think I picked something. And when I came here, I was working as a waiter, but I was working with chef. There was a chef from London. I used to work in London. So the chef said, why are you always in the kitchen? I said, I love cooking. He said, really? If you want, I'll show you things. I'll train you things. And I said to him, if you do that once a week, I'll treat you. So I used to take him for hours out for treat him. And he used to show things and train me and you know, teach me different things. And I appreciate, I'm still very grateful to him. You know, he showed me a lot of things I never know.
Staff at what used to be one of the country's worst schools say the Sheppey sites are being transformed after reopening under a new academy. Teachers at Oasis Academy went out on strike last year over student violence, but it's now received a multi-million pound investment from the Department for Education and the Lee Academy Trust. Parents say they're starting to change their minds about the schools, which have seen investment in resources and facilities. A junction by a school in Cheriton that's been described as dangerous has received funding for improvements. There have been 11 crashes at the site in Cheriton Road and Cherry Garden Avenue near Harvey Grammar School in just 4 years. Three of them were serious. Once complete, the junction will have a completely new layout, but so far they haven't set out a timeline. A private school has pulled out of plans to expand into a hotel in Folkestone. Bosses at Earlscliffe were going to turn the Wards Hotel into an educational and boarding house. Plans have been approved, but the new head teacher has decided the space isn't needed.
Kent Online News.
More than 50 projects across Medway have been allocated funding to help make a difference to the local community. Council will provide £825,000 to groups that support initiatives that foster and develop pride in place across the towns. The money will be spent on things like the Young Hack Program, which helps develop skills in creative technology, and Funny Women's Comedy in the Community Initiative. A zebra crossing is going to be installed outside a school near Maidstone to improve road safety. There's currently a lollipop lady for pupils at Lewes Primary to get across the A229. Work will be carried out during the Easter break next April to build the new zebra crossing. A swan has been rescued after crash landing on the M20, causing delays for drivers. Police were called to the London-bound carriageway near Aylesford on Sunday afternoon. The bird was checked over by the RSPCA and released back into the wild. Now, the local RSPCA centre is hoping to find a new home for a hamster who's been overlooked because of his dull colouring. Spidey came into the care of the Kent Northwest branch with several other hamsters who have all been rehomed. Staff have issued an appeal as part of their Adoptober campaign. A brown bear from Kent who became the first ever to have brain surgery is said to be recovering remarkably well. Staff at the Wildwood Trust near Canterbury say Bocky is taking his favourite medicine, Calpol, after an operation last week to try to stop his seizures. The scars are now healing, but his fur will take at least 6 months to grow back.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have been drawn at home to Blackpool in round one of the FA Cup. Tunbridge Angels will host Harborough Town after reaching the first round for only the second time in 50 years. Finn from our colleagues at KMTV has been chatting to Tunbridge Angels manager Jay Saunders about how it feels.
It's fantastic. I think for anyone who was at the game Saturday and saw the scenes and what it meant to the supporters and everyone associated with the club, it's obviously great that we've, as a management team, been able to play our part in getting us there. So, it was a really good occasion. And I was made well aware of the previous record in the FA Cup. So it's nice to finally get to that first round again.
Brilliant. And how far would you like Tunbridge to go? Obviously, last year, Maidstone proved that that magic can happen.
Yeah, look, you need that little bit of luck. You need things to go your way. Obviously, the further we get, the better, I think, for all round, for everyone that works at the club, for the financial reasons, for the, as I say, the publicity, for the future generations, if you like, of the club as well. It can have that sort of knock-on effect.
How would you strike the balance, do you think, between league matches and the FA Cup now that that's happening?
It's like I say, it's hard because you get excited by the FA Cup and we're all really pleased to be in that first round. But at the same time, we've got Worthing away on Saturday, which for us is a massive game. We've had a really great start to the season and we want to continue that. So I think as a management team, it's up to us to make sure the boys are fully focused on that. It is difficult, especially when you saw the celebrations after the game Saturday and how much it means to people. But that's part of our job, I guess. Myself, Tom and Blackie, my assistants, will be fully focused on getting the boys back down to earth on Tuesday and cracking on with that league fixture.
Absolutely. And at that match at Crewe Wanderers, we just heard you could hear the excitement from the fans. What do you think it means to them to have you in this competition?
Yeah, look, when I came to the club, everyone sort of spoke about it. I think I was told after the game Saturday, it's only like 50 years, they've only been twice in the first round. So, and I think the last time that happened, unfortunately, it was COVID. So they played Bradford and it was behind closed doors. So I think for us, there's been a lot of pressure for the last 2 years. And, and like I say, with a little bit of luck, we've had loads of injuries and stuff last 2 years, and it always coincided with the FA Cup game. So for us to finally get through, I mean, I had some lovely messages from supporters about how much it meant and how much it was like when they won playoffs. It was the same feeling, and I think that says it all. So as I say, we're just glad as a team and as a management team and a squad, we're happy that we've got there, and seeing the players in with the supporters and the supporters singing all the way through the game, that they were immense on Saturday. So, I feel like we played our part.
Games will be played over the first week of November. Staying with football, and Maidstone's Alessia Russo will be part of the England squad for two autumn internationals. The Lionesses take on Germany and South Africa later this month. And briefly in cricket, Ken Zach Crawley is back in action for England. They're taking on Pakistan in the second test in Multan after a record-breaking victory in the first match. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.